Hi all, it's Thursday again, and today's date is October the 11th, and this is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. Some won't. Hi all, and welcome to another edition of the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. We have an interesting show tonight. We have a disappointing aspect to it. We may, I'm considering now, is not doing questions and answers for this show. I'm considering maybe I can do an hour show tomorrow for all the Q&A. So if you want to send more in, I think that would be best, because we have other things that need to be covered. And I will do a show at 7:30 tomorrow evening. I have all your questions in the previous weeks. There's probably two or three pages worth, so we can have another show tomorrow. So if you want to send questions in for that, I'll put the link up tomorrow. But tonight is all about news and views around the world, some intel, and some very interesting op-ed pieces that need to be told and heard. And so the theme for the show tonight is: there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the air in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. So, this is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. And in a week where the jobless numbers in America increased, the markets have tanked, and major companies like Sears and many others filing for bankruptcy. Banks are bankrupt. The UN and the IMF are bankrupt. Countries are bankrupt. And yet, we are still told the economy is growing and doing well. Really? What type of sick joke is that, portal people? It may well be going well in your world, but it's not in ours, and our world is what matters the most. Right, let's get the details of the show out the way, and then we'll go into some news and views around the world. We have intel, and then the op-ed pieces. Right, the link for the show, you can listen live on every Thursday at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And it's spreaker.com/user/895-5881. You can also listen live on the website we have called thinkdifferent.thepeoplesclub.org. And all the archives are there, including the must-listen-to shows, the self-empowerment, some of which have been removed and are being rewritten for certain reasons. And there's a whole lot of details on that website, and it's expanding rather well, all done rather nicely by Michael Jacquin. So thanks to him. We have the Facebook page, Truth, Honour and Integrity, and the Facebook alternative social media page on MeWe.com. If you can't find it, send an email in. And this is the email for comments and questions for the show. And it's truth.honor.and.integrity@gmail.com. And we also have the People's Club website. And that's so you can find out and read all about the foundation once the funding is released. Where you should send your proposals only to that page, please. And that's at thepeoplesclub.org. And once again, I want to thank everyone who has contributed to me and my work on Patreon. And it's patreon.com/TommyW/members a memberships if you wish to donate on that. And once again, thanks to everyone who's donated to that. The transcripts of the not the news and the views, although sometimes you had some in, because sometimes in the news and views there's bits of intel in it, or there's bits of op-ed pieces to do with the news and views, but the intel and the op-ed pieces are put in the transcripts of the shows, generally a couple of days or a couple of weeks straight time after the shows are done. And so they're all there on Patreon, but there's no shows on there. I'm still trying to find time to do some Zoom shows. I'm going to have to get a subscription for that to do that, and we can have some Zoom shows with people in Europe and some with people down under. So I'll see if I can push that along as well. Right, news. Way down the page. Here we go. President Donald Trump said demonstrators this week protesting against Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination at the Senate building office are paid professionals. Nice to hear him saying that, as members of the alternative community have been banging that drum for a long time now, but it's nice to see it coming out in public. And it's also nice to see that it's being labelled as being backed by the financier George Soros. Now, from all accounts, from what we know, Mr. Soros himself died in November of 2017, I think, anyway. For once, my memory slips up. There's that many things to remember. But obviously he has a team still pulling those stunts, and it appears those people are not getting paid. It's quite a familiar theme now. CNN not getting paid, mercenaries not getting paid, generals not getting paid, government's not getting paid. It's all the same people. So Mr. Trump went on and said, the very rude elevator screamers are paid professionals only looking to make senators look bad. And Trump wrote this in a tweet last Friday, don't fall for it. Or also look at all of the professional made identical signs, all paid for by Soros and others. And these are not signs made in the basement from love, hashtag troublemakers. Yes, and I agree with that 100%. So if the original Mr. Soros is still alive, one hopes actions are taken, concrete actions, or his organisation is shut down altogether. We've had enough of people interfering in this country to last many lifetimes, never mind one. More than 6,600 children and adolescents have disappeared in Mexico over the past dozen years, they're saying. I think that's a drastic underestimate. As the country's rising drug violence spread to previously placid corners of the country, claiming victims even amongst the youngest citizens. Now, the National Registry of Missing and Disappeared Persons has recorded 37,435 individuals as unaccounted for as of April 2018, and 18% of them missing are minors. And this is according to local media reports last week. It's an invisible topic in any other country. This would be a scandal. Here it's not, says Mr. Garcia, who is the director of Network for the Rights of Children in Mexico. And Mexicans have been going missing in alarming numbers since the country launched its militarized crackdown on the drug cartels back in December 2012, which is about around the time when Mr. Eric Holder sent weapons to those same drug cartels. Oops. There, that is a drastic underestimate of those figures, and this is why the wall is being proposed. It's a massive ongoing problem that involves not only children of Mexico but the whole of Central and South America, and also children being sent on the Muslim Brotherhood boats along with mercenaries and guerrillas designed to cause issues on American soil. That's why you're seeing some of the issues in Venezuela. But police are fighting back in Mexico, the ones that are not corrupt anyway, and are now investigating a couple that was arrested for transporting body parts in a pram, or stroller as they say in America, in connection with at least 10 murders. And at a hearing following his arrest, the man reportedly confessed to killing 20 women in the suburb of Mexico City. And investigators have found large body large portions of body parts in the couple's flat and at another nearby property. They were kept in buckets filled with cement and also in a fridge. Now, the prosecutors say the couple sold the body parts, but it's not clear at this stage as to whom. Femicides, as it's called, murders of women, are common in Mexico and often go unpunished. The gruesome details of this case has caused outrage and triggered street protests in a place called Ecatepec, if I pronounce that right, which is a poor suburb in Mexico State where they all occurred. Neighbours have said that whenever they saw the couple, they were pushing the pram or stroller in which police found the body parts. Police had stopped and searched them after the disappearance in September of a local woman, a 28-year-old by name of Nancy Hubertron, and her two-month-old baby, Valentina. Now, in the hearing this week, the accused, whose name has been given as Juan Carlos, confessed to killing Ms. Hubertron and identified two of the victims as a 23-year-old, Arlette Alguin, and 29-year-old Evelyn Rocas. And he's also said to have confessed to sexually abusing some of the victims before killing them and then selling off their belongings and then their body parts. Like I keep saying, it's a big, big problem, far bigger than most people realise. Last week, there was a court filing, and yet the mainstream media took no notice whatsoever of it. Probably because it didn't happen in their world, you know. But it's happening in ours. And there was a federal court filing that exposes an $84 million money laundering conspiracy by the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign, which executed during the 2016 presidential election, was in violation of federal campaign finance law. Now, the lawsuit that was filed in a DC district court summarizes the DNC Clinton conspiracy and provides detailed evidence from the Federal Election Commission filings confirming the complaint's allegations that Democrats undertook an extensive scheme to violate federal campaign limits. They think they're beyond the law, you see. Now, Dan Bakker, a campaign finance lawyer and attorney of record in the lawsuits, explained the underlying law in an article for Investors Business Daily. And it states, under federal law, an individual donor can contribute $2,700 to any candidate, $10,000 to any state party committee, and during the 2016 cycle, $33,400 to a national party's main account. Now, these groups can all get together and take a single check from a donor for the sum of those contribution limits. It's legal because the donor cannot exceed the base limit for any one recipient. and the state parties can make unlimited transfers to their national party. Now, this is a legal loophole that allows bundlers, as the term that was used, to raise large sums of money from wealthy donors at more than $400,000 at a time, when the limit is $33,000 or $2,700 for a single candidate. And what happened next is they were filtering the funds to the national committees, and Democrats and Republicans alike exploit this tactic. But once the money reaches the national committees, then what happens is other limits apply. No mention it on the Portal People News. None whatsoever. Now, according to a recent non-partisan poll this week, 3 out of 4 Americans support the president's plan of spending more federal money. It's not federal. I think our members realise that. On infrastructure, and the president proposed a $1 trillion plan to improve ageing roads, bridges and tunnels across the country. While funding the project has proven to be a political challenge, that's an understatement of we know only too well. I best not say too much. Broad public support for the plan is rooted in necessity. About 7 out of every 100 miles of roadway nationwide are in poor condition, and 9% of bridges nationwide are structurally deficient. I think that's a gross underestimate as well, meaning that they are in need of some repair, and 17% of dams in the country have a high hazard potential, which means a functional failure would result in the loss of life. Now, for many, the notion of crumbling infrastructure conjures images of a bridge collapsing during rush hour, and we've already seen that. Or even the speeding passenger train hurtling off a faulty track. We've seen that also. And while such tragedies occur on occasions, they are relatively rare, and almost always some part of a false flag situation. But it doesn't mitigate the lack of spending on infrastructure in this country. Now, most people are affected by the aging infrastructure on a daily basis in a number of more subtle ways, including traffic congestion, public transportation delays and vehicle damage. Now, in a survey of all 50 states of who are the worst and who are the best, well, I'll just tell you who the best was, and it was Florida, declared best for roads, bridges and dams. And the worst 5 were in reverse order: California, no surprise, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Hawaii, and the worst was Rhode Island. One hopes that the government implement that plan fairly quickly. It has been funded, but delays are ongoing. Another study this week suggests Americans are struggling to save. I'm not surprised. And the median US household currently has about $11,700 put away between bank accounts and retirement savings. Like, that's going to go far. When people do these figures, 11,700, I don't know the actual figure of millionaires, multimillionaires or billionaires in this country, but it is higher than most countries, and it slightly sways the figures higher when it really is a lot lower when you take them out. And young people have much less, millennials in particular, defined as those born between 1981 and 1998, who hold only about $2,400 in median total savings. I'm not surprised with student loan debts and whatever else rubbish you have to pay out for learning nothing, but there you go. And that's not going to get you very far, considering that experts have said that you should have at least 3 to 6 months' worth of living expenses in an emergency fund. Like how? And also, you got to love these experts, also be on your way to saving $1 million for your retirement. Oh my God. I told you we were in two different worlds, didn't I? These people, so-called experts, are beyond stupid. Now, to work towards shorter-term goals like an emergency fund or buying a home, and also make sure you'll be able to retire when you want to, according to them, the best thing you can do is to start saving early and take advantage of compound interest, in which any interest earned accrues interest on itself. Now, the financial services company Fidelity, oh my God, recommends having the equivalent of your annual salary saved. That means if you earn $50,000 per year, by your 30th birthday, you should have $50,000 socked away. Really? Someone by the age of 30 saddled with $60,000 to $150,000 of student debt? Someone by the age of 30 who's probably got married and has to pay exorbitant prices for rent or mortgages, and then the cost of having children, which most people do before the age of 30, and yet somehow magically they are supposed to have $50,000 tucked away in the bank. These people are beyond delusional. It's just beyond all comprehension. So you got student loan debt, you've got attempting to get on the mortgage ladder, getting married, having children, which most people do before 30, and they expect you to save with that. Yeah, beyond stupid. But this is the cycle that they have the American people in. You've got the student loan debt, getting married, getting on the housing ladder, generally before the age of 30, and all the costs that are incurred then. So most of your money is going out into that. And then you get married, and then the next stage is you've got to save for the next 20 years for college for your kids. And then you get to 50 or 60, and then you've got to save something for retirement. That's not living. That's existing. And so what happens is people have no money left for themselves, for vacations. It's all gone by the wayside. And we have to really push the government of how we would like to see life go forward, because the way we're going now is just 3 20-year roughly debt cycles, student loan, mortgages, college and retirement. It's all about money for the future, and unfortunately there's no money for now where you can enjoy your life. That has to change. Facebook has started its column today. It has pulled down more than 800 pages and accounts that have posted sensational political content for violating its rules against spam and inauthentic behaviour. and this comes ahead of the US midterm elections. I wonder how long THI is going to last. The bulk of the inauthentic activity we see on Facebook is spam that typically is motivated by money, not politics, according to Facebook anyway. And the people behind it are adapting their behaviour as our enforcement improves. This was stated by Nathaniel Gleicher. Oh my, shall I mention it again? All very German that, isn't it? Oh dear. Who is the head of Facebook's cyber security policy. Oh my. So the social media giant said that it has removed 559 pages and 251 accounts for running afoul of its rules. Now, some of the accounts included conservative news sites such as Right Wing News, which had more than 3.1 million followers, and left wing groups such as Resistance and Reverb Press. On Facebook, which has more than 2 billion users worldwide, which is a lie because it's plummeted drastically, like all the portal people, mainstream media. But they have been under pressure by lawmakers to protect the integrity of elections. Since when have they been interested in protecting the integrity of elections? Suddenly now it's important to protect the integrity of elections when they've dabbled in the elections since year one, and not only in this country but interfered in every other country's elections. Protecting the integrity of elections. The detained Chinese head of Interpol, Meng Hongwei, is being investigated for alleged bribe taking. I believe this guy's now dead, privately. And Chinese authorities had announced Mr. Meng was first reported missing in late September after travelling from Interpol headquarters in France to China. His wife has revealed he sent her a text message with a knife emoji on the day he went missing. And he is the latest high-profile target to be ensnared in China's sweeping anti-corruption campaign. He is also a vice minister for public security in the country. Now, in its announcement of the investigation, China's public security ministry said the probe was correct, wise, and shows the determination of President Xi's administration to continue its anti-corruption drive. And yes, he is doing that, and heavily. Interpol is the global policing agency that coordinates between police forces around the world, including searches for missing and wanted persons. And Interpol's General Secretariat oversees the day-to-day work of the 192 member organizations, with the role of the president largely ceremonial. But rumor has it that guy is no longer alive, and it may not be as it seems. That's all I'll say at the moment. Anthony Weiner, who has the fake marriage to Huma Abedin. She has other partners, as we all know, and he's been in prison and still is. But now we're told he's coming home early. The disgraced Democratic ex-congressman and former NYC mayoral hopeful had been completing only a 21-month prison sentence for sending sexual text messages to an underage girl. And apparently he may now be released for good behaviour. Really. Apparently he's been a model inmate while imprisoned at the Federal Medical Center in Devens, Massachusetts. And the New York Post reported Monday, citing the Federal Bureau of Prisons, according to prison records, are now scheduled to have him released in May 2019, which is 3 months earlier than the initial date of August 2019. One hopes the real charges on Mr. Wiener are implemented before he gets anywhere near coming out. Enough's enough on that. They've had the video and the evidence for the last 2 years. You don't allow normal criminals to carry on in that manner when you have all the evidence. It's time some people did their jobs. Now, the IMF, terrorist organisation as it is, and also bankrupt, has warned that a trade war between the US and China risks making the world a poorer and more dangerous place in its latest assessment of the global economy. And the IMF has lowered its forecast for global growth this year and also next year. It stated that a full-blown trade war between the US and China would put a significant dent in the economic recovery. Its chief economist, another expert who knows jack shit, said further trade barriers would hit households, businesses and the wider economy. And trade policy reflects politics, and politics remain unsettled in several countries, which poses further risks. This was according to Morris Obstfeld. No one say it. We're not being funny. Who listens to a terrorist organisation? Perhaps the global economy would improve drastically if the IMF and the Blackwater thugs they are employing were not going around threatening most of Africa and South American and Central American countries, would it not? Now, for those new to the show, the trade war and the tariff issue has nothing to do with China the country. It has nothing to do with China's government, and everything to do with cutting off the trade and the siphoning of American funds and jobs done by the Black Dragon groups which operate in both countries. That's what Mr. Trump is stopping. Those tariffs are nothing to do with the individual governments, despite what the portal people will tell you. It's bullshit. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has re-registered as a Democrat now, just 27 days before the midterm elections. The billionaire posted news of his latest party affiliation on social media. No surprise, Mr. Bloomberg. 9/11, TikTok. Saying that the Democratic Party needs to step up and act as a bulwark against those who threaten our constitution. Which constitution is that, Mr. Bloomberg? It's certainly not the people's one we're playing under, is it? Nikki Haley, UN, America's UN representative. Abrupt and unexpected resignation this week from President Trump's administration, according to the portal people, secured her membership in a singular club. The rare former White House official who leaves Trump's orbit as a political force who could pose a potential threat to the president, according to them. And in a sign of her rising profile, the ambassador to the United Nations on Tuesday simultaneously announced her resignation at the end of this year, while also reassuring Mr. Trump that she has no plans to challenge his re-election. And she said, "No, I'm not running for 2020, she said, seated next to the president in the Oval Office. "I can promise you I will be campaigning for this one. So I look forward to supporting the president in the next election." Watch that closely. All is not what it seems. Final news item before we have a music break and go into the intel and the op-ed pieces. Theresa May, Prime Minister of the UK, friends of the Nazi Merkel, has appointed today for the first time ever a Minister for Suicide Prevention. So it's a government post, and it's part of a £1.8 million, which is roughly $2.4 million, to reduce the number of people taking their own lives. Now this is thought to be a world first for the government position, and Ms. May announced that the Health Minister Jackie Doyle Price will lead efforts to end the stigma that prevents people from seeking help for their mental health. The Prime Minister also pledged £1.8 million to ensure the Samaritan helpline remains free for the next 4 years, returning to her pledge to tackle burning injustices prevalent in society, which was set out in her first speech at Downing Street. Interesting timing that the government in the UK is recognising there may be a problem with suicides, but I don't think it's for the public view. Maybe people around her may decide that suicide is the best way out. Time, as always, will tell. Right, let's have a music break, and then we'll go into the intel. Rather fitting this week. Hi all, and welcome back. We'll have more about zombies later. Right, let's get into the intel. And I will preface it and say there's a lot of things currently that can't be said on the show. We've always been responsible with what we put out. Things are, and everyone's feeling it currently. I described it as the elastic band tension. It should have snapped a long time. Certainly quite a few weeks ago, but it's stretching and it's stretching, and the rebound could well get brutal for us all, that is, more for them than us, but everyone's feeling the tension, and it really needs some actions to be undertaken, like I said earlier about Anthony Weiner. You know, I can't believe it's taken 2 years to go further with what was on that computer. You know, that's not good. It's beyond comprehension. And there's many other cases that require attention. And hopefully actions will be forthcoming. We've all heard the promises. We've been hearing from as far back as 2002 when David Wilcock was posting on the pseudonym Art Aqua on the Skolnick report of mass arrests. Well, here we are 16 years later, and we still await that process. But things are ongoing. And we will release things accordingly when it's safe to do so. But the first intel item is the Cabal, along with rogue organisations like the UN and the IMF, are targeting and heavily threatening whole swathes of African countries currently. They're threatening the central banks, they're threatening government officials and presidents or prime ministers of those countries. And this is an attempt to stop them in any way, shape or form working with the trust. Now, some are being offered huge bribes to block funding from the trust that has been coming in and we have sent a number of transfers to various countries to help their countries. Now, the message to all the African countries: you must act now. Not separate, but all together. Combine together and turf out the rogue elements within your countries and block these criminals from threatening and abusing your own sovereignty. Throw out the UN people, throw out the IMF and their mercenaries, and Citibank out of all your countries. These people have never, ever done anything good for that whole continent or its people. They've raped, pillaged, vaccinated and killed your people for centuries. They've tested and implemented viruses that were administered by the World Health Organization. Yes, that World Health Organization. It is where all the diseases in your country originated from, deliberately. And it's time to put aside individual countries, clans and village wars, as whilst they deliberately provoke those situations to keep you all distracted, they plunder the country. These are the same people that provided all the guns and all the weapons. Well, it's time to get smart and get rid of those people and rebuild a new Africa where all your people can flourish and not die by the thousands each day. Now, here is the issue of banking in Africa, and the same applies to South and Central America also. All monies that are sent into both countries, into individual banks, the banks are then being told that they have to be routed through another bank before it's transferred to its intended destination. So if the trust sends money to Africa, the receiver is telling the trust you must send it to Citibank first. Yeah, right. Not happening. As what happens next is they hold it, leverage it, or try to loot it. And it's time for Africa to remove that problem bank that is stopping your development. Now, in the case of South and Central America, they're having the same issue also of controlling banks, except theirs is not Citibank, it's Wells Fargo. And the same applies to their countries as well. Time to throw those two organisations out altogether, nationalise another bank, or just nationalise that bank and take it over, and then the funds can be released. But we're not sending money to Citibank in Africa or Wells Fargo in South and Central America for them to play games with. The new meme, apart from Theresa May's suicide government position, the new meme for this timeline will be resignations. Watch closely in all government departments. Next item. Many rogue elements are being promised positions to replace Trump in the 2020 election by the clowns. In return for digging up dirt on Mr. Trump and ousting him. Now, Mr. Trump has been made aware of it, and it is being monitored. Now, what they're also promising these people to replace Trump is immunity from their own criminal or illegal dealings as well. That won't work either. Next point. I should have played the Jaws theme tune for this. just when you thought it was safe. That dinars, zims, dongs and super notes had had its day. I received a message from Europe this week that the clowns are using a new mode of money and currently operating it on the black market, and will replace the euro in that country with their own currency. Step forward, Germany. No surprise there, is there? And the Dutch mark again. They're using the Dutch mark on the black markets. All of it being done with a sleight of hand again. And for those of you who don't know, it should be worth noting is whose policy was it for one world government, one world currency, and everything else one world at with them at the helm? The Nazis. Watch closely. Now, following an 832-point drop, and apparently it's gone down again today, Mr. Trump blamed the Fed. The Fed has gone crazy, he said. Told reporters yesterday as he arrived in Pennsylvania for a campaign rally. And he went on and says, you can say that, well, that's a lot of safety, actually, and it is a lot of safety, and it gives you a lot of margins. But I think the Fed has gone crazy. And he also thinks the Fed is making a mistake. They're so tight, Trump said, adding that he rarely disagrees with the Fed raising the interest rates. Now, I agree with that. It's a fine and fair comment. But perhaps a suggestion, is it not time for Mr. Trump to consider acting on the papers already implemented following actions that have been taken against the Fed this year? The longer it goes on, the more pain the people suffer. At some point, actions have to be taken. I'm sure the public will support it. Well, I know they will. And would it not be a campaign winner for the up-and-coming midterm elections? Next intel item. Actually, it's the final one, I think. Before we get into op-ed pieces. This will shock many and disturb many as well, but it has to be said. There's a modern day crisis in America, and it's to do with veterans. And it's not the obvious issue of PTSD, drugs and homelessness, which we have covered a lot in our shows. No. This has far more lasting issues that may only be resolved by them all dying of old age or some other issue. The issue is, at this point in time and near or far future, all American troops will be left overseas, maybe permanently. This has nothing to do with war on terror or new world order global domination. This has to do with the deliberate drug use done to all American soldiers for various programs administered by those at the top. As I understand it, it is currently deemed a matter of full-scale national security for soldiers to return home. And the reason being is we currently cannot cope with the soldiers returning with all kinds of drug abuse and disease created by vaccine abuse done to them by their superiors. Plus the fallout of the public as they find out what they have really been doing, sending their sons and daughters to do, and what has been done to them. And this is why, as it stands, they can't return home at this point. Now it appears that current thinking by the military is they are all left. They all get left in position and never return. And as they all die off from old age and whatever, then the problem will go away. Or so they think. And this is typical thinking of certain generals. Ignore the problem and hope it goes away, or eliminate the problem entirely in some friendly fire mishap. The people have to demand that funding is set aside, preferably out of the military budgets, so they have less money to spend on killing people and more money to spend on saving people, and provide a safe environment for the support of returning soldiers. Maybe initial help could be done on military bases, or we could build new centres for their rehabilitation and ultimate return to their families, depending on the severity of each case. The term soul dire makes much more sense now, doesn't it? Your children were used as sacrificial soul dyers and MK Ultra style guinea pigs. And as the song says, generals gathered in their masses just like witches at black masses. War pigs. This is a national disgrace. We have to provide the facilities to enable our sons and daughters to return home. Not let them rot and die somewhere else on some foreign shore. We did enough of that with Vietnam. Except not all from Vietnam were missing, were they? A lot of the so-called missing prisoners of war in Vietnam were brought home privately and housed in what is known as Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave. And those people were tortured, genetic testing, and all kinds of insidious research was done on them for many years. This problem has to be addressed, and quickly. So the theatre production of Mr. Kavanaugh is now perceived to be over after he gained the vote and confirmed his justice position. But the Democrats are now hoping to impeach him. And so on it goes. Except that is not possible, as it requires a two-thirds vote, and they don't have sufficient numbers. What I will say, and I hope it's an oversight, and not something that's going to be pressing going forward, is the official signing-in ceremony did not sound too good either. Signing in on behalf of the United States. We are not the United States, which is the Congress of Vienna. We are America. One hopes those words don't have lasting implications. But this episode is beyond ugly, and far too much time has been spent on it on the media and also the alternative media. Only two people really know whether Mr. Kavanagh raped Ms. Ford back in 1982, him and her. But the questions remain is, why was there no complaints in the 18 years of the last century? Never mind the 18 years in this one. None. Given reports I heard, as I've not followed a single second of it, her evidence was beyond sketchy, and yet she's put herself through quite an ordeal, which appears to have lasting implications for her. Why, 36 years after an alleged incident, does she come forward now? Mr. Kavanagh, from what I know, has had other high-profile roles. Why didn't she expose him then? Why now? None of it makes any sense whatsoever, but it proves once again how easily the awake and the unawakened people are also easily taken in with the drama of it all. Too many appear drawn to it like a moth to a flame. He said, she said, ooh, have you heard this one has done this and this one's done that? Trump slept with another woman 12 years ago. Ooh. Whilst the same people are forgetting infidelity rates are around 35% of the populace. And that's only what's reported. Not everyone reports or admits it. But the point is, it's nobody else's business. None. The Stormy Daniels issue between Donald and Melania. It's only their business, it's nobody else's. Essentially, it's spying into the private lives of others. And yet we all complain about Google and Facebook and Langley and the NSA and the government spying on us. We can't have it both ways. In times gone by, it used to be the realm of the elderly who had retired, who were involved in everybody else's business, well, they were in the UK anyway. When their working days were over, the scene of two elderly people, neighbours discussing who is doing what, where, when and why over the fence. But now it's appeared to have spread into the whole populace. And the question is why? Well, much of it comes down to your own insecurity within yourself. So if someone has done something or even appeared to have done something wrong, people jump on it. You see, in their minds, someone else messing up in life means to them that they are better or superior in some way. And some people might think that works for them. It doesn't. And the reason why is, since when have we judged our own standing or behaviour on the misdeeds or poor actions of others? So if everyone else is bad, that means that I'm good and great. That's not rational or clear thinking. You are what you are because of your deeds only. And the yardstick should never be of how bad others are. But this is what insecurity and inferiority complex does to people. They lower the bar of standards of themselves and all those around them. We have to stop doing that. As an example, a woman was caught shoplifting. Won't say where and when, it happens everywhere. and all the neighbours jumped in, all sanctimonious with the "I would never do that" mantra. That's bad she did that. Again making out in some way that they are better than the shoplifter. But do they ever ask the circumstances that led to that woman shoplifting? No. That gets left in the barrage of self-righteousness. But what if that shoplifting was the only way to feed that woman and her children? A last resort. You see, that type of thinking has almost been lost in the Western world. It's all about passing negative judgments on others while deflecting your own issues. So instead of asking, can we help the shoplifter with some food or just some help, we are just condemning and casting people aside, as that is what everyone else does. But that's herd mentality thinking with a negative self-preserving twist. We have to stop doing that. Like what I said last week, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your people? Think before you speak or text. Stop thinking in the now and the past, but the future thinking. Judgment is always in the now. Solutions are in the future. So do we continue to condemn the shoplifter for stealing to keep her children fed? Or do we strive to help her? These are things we all have to consider. Now this week, Americans celebrated Columbus Day. A reminder for new members. Columbus, the extraordinary man who found something that wasn't lost to begin with. America's always been here. Columbus founded America, indeed. Now, Columbus was sent to America by Spanish royals and paid for by the Vatican to launch Operation Genocide and to loot the people who have lived here for many years of all their land and all their resources. Of course, it always has another twist, with the added bonus of eliminating their oral and written history to boot, so they can change the course of history. Now, of course, the Spanish, the French and the British and Dutch ships of death knew full well there was gold and other untold riches over here, as Marduk and his crew were here a long time before in the past. For example, the Grand Canyon gold and the so-called Egyptian artifacts, as they're called, or the Egyptian hieroglyphs. For a start, they're not Egyptian, no more than the Egyptians built the pyramids. They never. It's all BS. Columbus never founded anything. And quite why we are still in 2018 celebrating somebody who launched Operation Genocide is beyond me. The same applies to Thanksgiving, once you know the real story behind that day and not the revisionist bullshittery we've all been told. Next piece. Comes from Kevin Annett. There's fun and games going on there. Maybe we'll get Kevin on the show again soon to give us an update. I'm making arrangements with John LaRash of National Liberty Alliance we may do a show with John before next Thursday. So look out for that. Anyway, convicted church officials issue legal notice and threaten police action against ITCCS Field Secretary Kevin Annett. International sheriffs and observers to be mobilised. And this is issues in Vancouver, no surprise. Brussels, no surprise. Two United Church officials who were lawfully convicted of concealing the death of children in Canadian Indian residential schools have launched a legal action to publicly silence Kevin Annett and his quarter-century campaign to expose and prosecute genocide in Canada. Foster Freed and Phil Spencer, both Vancouver Island clergymen, issued a cease and desist legal notice against Kevin Annett today through their law firm Deerpack, White and Spencer in Vancouver. The notice falsely and without evidence accuses Kevin of sending to both of them a poster accusing them of crimes against humanity and demands that he stop any public mention of these crimes. The notice states that the RCMP have opened a file against Kevin, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, some of which are involved in the same criminality, and they will be interrogating him, according to them anyway. Both Freed and Spencer were among the 30 defendants who in February 2013 were lawfully convicted of complicity in crimes against humanity in the first common law court case brought against Canada and its churches, the Vatican and the Crown of England for genocide. A standing arrest warrant still exists for Freed and Spencer, and Nana Imona based common law sheriffs, Nana Imo, hope I said that right, based common law sheriffs were in the process of enforcing that warrant when Freed and Spencer moved against Kevin. I'm regarding their notice as a preemptive response to take the heat off themselves, a panicked reaction which the United Church is so good at, commented Kevin this week. In fact, their notice is a blatant assault on me of the sort their church has been inflicting since 1995. Now, in response, the ITCCS has issued the following notice to Freed and Spencer and to their lawyers October the 8th. To whom it may concern, be advised that our office has been notified of your aggressive and unprovoked actions towards our North American Field Secretary, Reverend Kevin Annett, who has our complete confidence and legal protection. Our tribunal is monitoring your actions and will dispatch international observers to any court or public action taken against Reverend Kevin Annett. This is from Mr. Dufort for the Directorate of ITCCS Sheriffs in Canada. And I've now been dispatched to provide protection for Kevin Annett and also to monitor the situation. A rather unpleasant thing, is it not? We wish Kevin well with that. Couple of more items before we go into a music break, and a fairly lengthy op-ed piece which many will find interesting. Hillary Clinton and the Foundation again. Some more figures to alarm you. But ever wondered why the Clinton Foundation folded so suddenly after Hillary was no longer in a position of influence? And perhaps this summary will provide some insight. So this was taken from a 2014 990 tax form return. I'd love to see the updated ones. But they list 486 employees. So it took 486 people who were paid $35 million and $92 million in fees and expenses just to give away $5.1 million in donations. $35 million in wages and $92 million in fees and expenses for 486 people, and all they gave away is $5.1 million. Not surprising to us. But these figures are from an official copy of the Bill, Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation for the tax year 2014. Now, the copy of the tax return is from the National Centre for Charitable Statistics website, and you can obtain the latest tax return on any charitable organisation at ncc.urban.org. So you can go there and check it out. So the Clinton Foundation, number of employees, line 5, 486. Total revenue, line 12, 177 million. Total line grants to charity, 5.1 million out of 177. That's less than 3%. Total expenses, 92 million. Expenses include salary, 35 million. Fundraising fees, 851,000. Other expenses, line 17, 50 million. Travel expenses, 8 million. Meetings, 12 million. So that's $20 million in travel and meetings to decide who gets 5.1 million in charity. Net assets, fund balances, 332 million. So, like I said, 486 people were paid 35 million. And 92 million expenses and 20 million in travel and meetings to give 5.1 million out. And they call it a charity? Really? CNN reporter Caitlin Collins come under fire this week. To do with a text or a tweet or whatever it was, where she claimed someone as a fag, which is a derogatory term for a gay person, and claiming she was uncomfortable rooming with a lesbian while attending the University of Alabama. Now, this tweet was 8 years ago, and she doesn't think it reflects her opinion now, and that's a fair comment. But if her and the other portal people didn't get all sanctimonious about Donald's affair 12 years ago, or Judge Kavanaugh's alleged rape 36 years ago, or his drinking habits from the same time period, you can't have it both ways. So if CNN, Clinton News Network, think Mr. Kavanaugh should be precluded for alleged and subsequently unproven allegations be dismissed from that position, then by the same token, Miss Collins should be precluded from being a portal person for stating someone was a fag and she didn't like lesbians, should she not? Same rules apply. Ms. Von writes, I'm not going to put too much attention to that Nazi. But yet again, she's launched an attack on Kim this week. But the question remains, if Kim can't do this and Kim can't do that, is how did she fund the government? How did she transfer funds to banks which refused to credit the project owners? Answers on a postcard, please, Miss Van Wright. Now, of course, this week we've had the alleged hurricane, BS again. Reports, you see, most people are drawn to certain things, and this is part of the programming of TV, where they follow whoever's talking, and then you see the real details. They're posted on there, but they have to. But whilst you're distracted by the clown having water thrown on him, making it look like he's getting pissed on by heavy volumes of rain, or he's getting blown over by 155 mile an hour winds when it's really 30 or 40, then you'll miss the real truth, which is posted down the side, where it says winds between 16 and 53. Still not too pleasant, but it's certainly not catastrophic. These people really need to be showing up, because they're an utter disgrace to humanity, putting people in fear. But there's another aspect that's not covered about hurricanes and tropical storms. And the two issues are, particularly in Florida, should we really be building structures just a few feet above sea level in a hurricane zone? But you're guaranteed to have flooding. Should we really not drastically, and I mean drastically, improve the construction techniques in Florida and the other Gulf Coast regions? Because quite frankly, the construction of homes and buildings in America that I've seen is beyond disgrace. None of them would pass a building test in Europe. None of them. We have to completely overhaul how and where we build in regions that can be exposed to flooding. Look at right round Florida in and of itself. All the most expensive properties are all built on what is essentially a bloody sandbank that go right round the coast. Daytona, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, you name it. It's all on a sandbank. So when you get storms coming in, of course it's going to bloody flood. It's part of the ocean. And then they're building timber structures with very poor construction techniques. Like I said, none of them. Every single house in Florida would be condemned in Britain. It's not fit for purpose. So when you see dramatic pictures of roofs flying off and buildings collapsing, it's not a surprise. They've been poorly built, largely by people from other countries who don't have proper training in construction. None. Someone told me a figure that 80% of construction workers were illegals. I also know that people, roofing companies in Florida are going out of business because they can't get any staff. Why? because of the cut down on the illegals coming into the country. No one will do it. But these people that are coming in are trained in poor techniques, where let's just throw the house up as cheaply as possible and sell it, and doesn't really matter if a storm smashes it all down. It's not their house, is it? They've already had their money. That has to stop. We have to be a lot more sensible on how and where we build, given the propensity for weather events, whether real or not, whether exaggerated or not. And that's the key issue. Poor construction and building in low-lying areas. Fine to build in low-lying areas, but then you have to build a seawall. We have low-lying areas in the UK. They build a seawall to stop the water surge, or the bulk of it anyway. You know, if it's going to surge 15, 20 feet, you know, you're not going to build a 20-foot wall in front of a beachfront hotel. But the lack of infrastructure in protecting people's properties is damaging in this country. And it's something we have to think about. Right, we're going to have another musical break, and then we're going to go into a fairly lengthy and detailed and quite interesting piece in many ways. I hope you enjoy it. Let's roll it in with two songs that will play it into it. Hi all, and welcome back to what will be the final portion of tonight's show. But we still have a lot to cover. Now, the term Lucifer came up this week, and it led me to writing a piece that went off in many, many directions, and this is this very piece. And apparently Lucifer is working with the IRA, terrorist organization in Ireland, and he's working with the IRA to take out the Langley 2 operative up in Alaska, known as Anna von Reitz. And it gets more bizarre by the week, some of the things that are relayed to the public. But Miss von Reitz went a step further this week with further outbursts of lunacy, with this comment apparently written to Mr. Trump, October the 9th, 2018. And according to her, it marks the seventh angle in space banking and the end of the 45-year moratorium, and is the day that our delegated powers return to us. Oh dear. I can't imagine Mr. Trump not laughing his arse off at that nonsense, assuming he actually received it. I suspect not. Now, remember, we asked for proof of Miss von Reitz's letters back in February, and as per usual, none arrived. Now, another thing that tied in this week is I was asked to comment on, and for those of you who emailed in, I did take the time to listen to that audio recording called Primal Fire Show 1. I was avoiding listening to any of those podcasts as things are still a little bit raw, and I personally didn't want to listen to Chloe's voice on that show. But time moves on, and I did listen to Show 1. And as for the rest of them, I wanted to turn off that show after listening to the first 10 to 15 minutes. And I agree, it is riddled with contradictory statements of hosts saying our souls, not assholes, our souls, are permanently lost here, and we only have the spirit left, after previously stating the soul contains the spirit. So if the souls are lost, how can the spirit remain? Plus, according to that show I listened to, I endured an hour and a quarter of it. It is better to work with soulless beings than soul beings, as according to them, soul beings are all just too damaged, really. So let's take a deeper look at these two things. And there will be some interesting stuff in there. It's not all about Anavon Rites or Soul Tribe Sanctuary, like they seem to think it is. So Lucifer, as Anavon Rites mentions, of supposedly attacking her. Or is it Luciferia? That will be not a familiar term to most people. But it has been referenced by some researchers in the past who have past life memories, and they believe it was actually Luciferia was a female. Now, one thing I will say is Lucifer is A, not here, and if the being is correct, what she describes, what she is likely seeing is one of the former parents known as the Dark Prince. He was the last male of the five parents and also known to us as Green Eyes due to his appearance. His eyes turn a day glow green. And it is suspected this entity is a VI projection in here, which is like the last two parents known as the twins, one of which is called the Red Queen, who's quite a nasty, psychotic little biatch, that entity, I'll tell you. And from our understanding, there are no physical form parents left here. B. Can Lucifer truly be defined as either light nor dark, given some of the comments that were made in that show? And C, can any of us really know if this entity actually exists in form or non-form, or is it just a name given? All of which was wrapped into the experiment known as religion. But I find it kind of funny that the term came up in Anna's post, given a recent person who was close to me believes that now I am the reincarnation of Lucifer and I did all kinds of demonic things in the past to them and others. Coincidence? Perhaps not. Time always tells. Either way, whether true or not, you are defined by your actions here and now and in this lifetime, not other lives. And I wish people would see that more than stating I am Ra, I am Zeus, I am Persephone, I am Jesus, and I am Mary. Whole heaps of these people all over this planet. But it's funny no one says that they were Pol Pot or Hitler or the SS officers or Genghis Khan or King Solomon or some other zealot. Why is it always a hero figure? Something to ponder on. But are you acting in the same manner as the person that you are saying that you are now? For example, if you are saying that you are Mother Earth or Mary Magdalene, are you spending your whole day nurturing and caring and loving people? Or are you spending all day finding ways to trash people on the internet? If so, you're not really playing the role of that person, are you? So what then is the use of stating you are that person? Because if you're not acting the role out and being nurturing and caring, or being the hero, All you're doing is pure ego imbalance. But is it not more valuable and better for the person if they were a so-called baddie in a previous life, but do wonderful things in this life? Which carries the most true value? That to me is real soul growth progression. We've all made bad choices in life, but the key is to correct them. Now, some people and beings on this planet have come here to correct past mistakes, sometimes made by themselves in past lives and often made by others. But they are correcting things here and now because it's the right thing to do. Recognizing where you went wrong and correcting things is a key thing in everybody's life. It's soul growth. But there are many who deny their own wrongdoings and continue on like it never happened, despite the facts staring them in the face. How are those people going to progress? They're not. And what will happen? They will stay in the astral plane of existence, being attacked and being fed off for the rest of their days. And something that all people must ponder on, is it not? A lot of humanity has been trapped in the astral plane of the soul development. The key is to get on the mental planes. So we have terms like Satan or Saturn or Setan. Is it real? Is it a demon? What is a demon? Is it not all about perspective? Now, to the Draco, that being is the be all and end all. And all bow and worship to him or it. And we also have many humans who also bow and worship to that same named entity. Why? Because they've lost their way. Both the Draco and the higher order humans here, all because they see outside of themselves. They've forgotten their connection to Source. And all who follow religion are doing the same thing, whether they know it or not. Yes, Satan, the real term, is or was real in form and non-form. In essence, it is a title rather than a single named person or being. Lucifer is also a title. Now, there is a person on this planet who is designated to be the next Satan. And I understand that that person is no longer considering that move and why that role was ended from 2014 onwards. And with it being a title, this is why many names come up that way. And the same applies to the solar god. There's various names for the solar god. It's a title. But Satan is another one of the fake gods pushed forward by the order control system here and also elsewhere. You can add in Isis, Osiris, Horus, Ra, fake Roman and Greek gods to that list as well. Ordinary entities presenting themselves above Source and creation, having domain over all of the species, not just human, all playing title roles as the saviour. Except those people couldn't save themselves from their own ego imbalance. And yet we are expected to look up external and worship them as gods. Did or do they warrant that status, whether they're role-playing or not? Did they lead the people by example? Did they set the highest standards and ensure their subjects had all the basic necessities in life to progress the species? No. They threw lightning bolts, swords, giant snakes, plagues, fast destroyer weapons creating deserts, destroyed crops, lived lavishly whilst the people starved. A bit like the modern day Vatican, is it not? And people think we should worship these pathetic clowns? Riddled with their own self-importance as a way to mask their own inferiority complex and weaknesses. You see, nobody ever rules with an iron fist or controls others without being riddled in fear. It is because they are in fear that they control others. The classic example is the Draco. They are terrified of us advancing, so they kept us in low vibration. It's all based in fear. Kept you trapped in the astral plane of existence with all the demons, etc. Terms like angels and demons, archangels, fallen angels, all are promoted to be outside of you. And in terms of demons, something that needs to be shunned, because they're nasty, they're dark, so we're told. And yet, at the same time, the control system people all hail what they term demons or Satan, and call on the jinn to do their magic dirty work. So what are angels and what are demons? Are they separate or are they one and the same? In my opinion, they are the same creational entity. They're not different. But limited perspective and duality thinking defines it as one or the other. You're nasty, so suddenly you're a demon. You're nice, so you are an angel or angelic. But we have all been, even in this one lifetime, done good things and done bad things, dabbled in both aspects. But are you an angel or a demon? Neither. They're just an external expression of you at a given moment in time, space, or lifetime. It's all about perspective, isn't it? Witches are another term that carries light and dark aspects, or so we're told. Some people on that show says there's no light or dark. And light doesn't mean good per se, and dark doesn't mean bad per se, which is all very good. But then, how do you describe being a light witch? Is it not the case by defining white or light magic as being better than dark magic? Then how can you say there's no light and dark? One is good, and one is bad. This clearly makes no sense whatsoever, and is more evidence of duality thinking and not triality thinking. Now, this is the type of New Age speak and terms that have crept into the community where one statement completely counteracts the other, and everyone is left in a spiral of confusion. And the reality is, witchcraft is dabbling in the dark arts, period. It's all about summoning in entities who are best left on the other realms. Why would you need to use witchcraft and magic when you can soul develop yourself onto the mental planes and use your own abilities? Providing you act responsibly with them. Because you will drop down if you don't act responsible. There is a reason why the Cabal and their covens use dark magic. It's the lazy man's tech. Because they are incapable in this lifetime, or quite possibly due to frequent imbalance of their nature, like corrupted souls, incapable in any lifetime of developing themselves to use their own abilities. White or light magic is no different. It is the cheat way people apply themselves, as they are not developed enough to advance themselves onto the mental planes. And as the saying goes, all magic comes with a price. But are you prepared to pay it? Do you even recognize the cost? The actions of witches, Wiccans, or whatever name they go by, often done in all female groups, is why we have so much of an issue on this planet to begin with. They do not understand what they are doing, no matter how much they tell you otherwise. The act of magic means they are bringing in an entity from another plane of existence to perform it for them. They think they're doing it themselves. They're not. The ceremony brings in or calls in the entity, of which very few on this planet are capable of dealing with it once that entity arrives through onto this plane. And they do these ceremonies in circles for a reason. It, in essence, creates the portal or the gateway for the entity to arrive through. You see, those who arrive or are summoned in here need a host in here at 3D level to be able to transcend the different planes of existence. Developed humans have this ability to do it naturally. We can interact on all planes of existence simultaneously via dream time, but in a few cases, some people can interact outside of dream time, which means they can do it whilst awake. But all other species cannot do this. And this is why we are sought after. Your abilities are wrapped inside your own DNA sequence that has been classed as junk DNA. It's not junk at all. But those without knowledge, which is most people here, sadly, unwittingly provide their vessels to become the host. And that is exactly what these mainly negative entities have been waiting for all along. Seances, magic circles, psychedelic drugs, ayahuasca, alcohol, and particularly spirits. It's called spirits for a reason. Card readings and other magic tricks all play a role in bringing in other entities from other planes, whose only desire is to host a body in here. Once hosted, that person's in bad trouble. Bad trouble. As too few on this planet can see it for what it is, or recognize an invasion of that vessel, because most people think it's not possible, because society has not been read in on that to date, and for valid reasons, as the dark forces made a pact with the astral plane entities to feed off us like batteries. Some priests used to perform exorcists to remove these entities. But unlike the over-dramatization that appeared in the movie The Exorcist, most vessel takeovers are far more subtle in nature. You see, they don't wish to be recognized as a host in a vessel, and they're very clever at manipulating. But look at the first three letters of the term exorcist. Exo means external or from the outside. Now do you all understand the severity of the issue? These walk-ins, which is essentially what they are the cause of much of people's mental health issues. Voices in the head, erratic behaviour, and other maladies. But when it's looked at with a different mindset and knowledge base, it now makes much more sense, does it not? Why do you think Marduk took the form of someone who looked mildly Asian? It's not shape-shifting. It's full-on possession of someone else's vessel and soul. And he operated it from the inside. Like a robot, in essence. Now link that with another Kabbalah agenda, and it makes much more sense, doesn't it? Transhumanism, anyone? Think about it. Now, funny enough, I did a piece on this very thing from the same group that was referenced earlier and will be referenced again later in this piece. Where the name Wetiko is used. Now, Wetiko is a fancy name for a walk-in, someone who's taken over a vessel. Now, Wetiko means solely for the self. But you can only host on people who exhibit similar traits for greed, selfishness, and service to self, and also excess. So the answer lies within you. If you are none of the above, then you have nothing to worry about with regards to Wetikos. But 51% or more on the service to self side is still service to self. So on the one hand, these people are warning of possession, whilst on the other hand, playing at witchcraft, which is the very vehicle that brings these beings in. Which is exactly why Manly of Soul Tribe Sanctuary had a dark djinn wrapped around the heart 3 months back and was strangling the life out of her, literally. Appears she forgets who helped her with that life-threatening situation. But never mind. I'm kind of used to those levels of forgetfulness and disloyalty, such as life. Ain't that right, Mr. Dean Chambers? But all of these different terms of the divisive mind of duality, light and dark, blue and red pills, the list goes on. Where we have only been given two choices and we don't realise we have a third choice, our own. But to get to that mindset, we first have to recognise and remember our own status and choices in life. We have followers of Q running around shouting we are taking the red pill based on the movie The Matrix. Well, you can't take the blue pill because they've said it's bad for you. First question is, who or what said it was bad for you? Second question, is that statement correct? And if not, why have they said it? And that is the mind of a triality thinker, not duality. Because the first thought is not whether it's a blue or red pill I should take, but why do I have to take any of them? It wasn't my choice. They offered their choice, not mine or yours. Completely ignoring the fact that the CIA destroyed many people's lives with the red pill on mind control testing. Oops. The red pill is LSD. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. The Beatles. That's what it was about. LSD. Lucy, Sky, Diamonds. And was given out freely by the CIA as part of a government program to wreck the hippie movement, as it was known, was too many people were singing about peace. And also to end the civil rights black movement. Both of those groups were deliberately targeted in a 1969 government study of targeting those two groups in a paper released by, under the Freedom of Information Act. Go and look it up for yourselves. So let's not be red-pilling people again. Or any pills for that matter. All pills are a poison to the system. All of them. As for the people that sold Tribe Sanctuary, saying there are no souls left and only spirits, and the same people stating that they only want to work with soulless vessels, partaking in witchcraft, who are promoting a girl-only group, which smacks of a coven to me. And given the complaints received by people from within that group, not from people in THI, to make things very clear. Plus following a number of complaint emails regarding demanding money under pressure and complaints of overcharging, and that the group is all about money, and all of them being thrown out of the group are males, and they have been requesting I don't do a second show with Manly. Well, neither I or this group will no longer be in support of the group known as the Soul Tribe Sanctuary. And yes, some people will see it as a discord between me and my former partner Chloe. Far from it. I have kept things as they should have been in private, but now it's spilt into the public realm, I now have to say something. Chloe has far more pressing other issues she's hiding from the public, like passing on sensitive information only she, via her sources, knew, which is going directly to the cabal. Which has not only put me, Kim, her daughter, and Kim's boyfriend in great and increased danger, but is also an attempt to split up the working relationship between me and the trust. but she's not alone in that. Currently, there's 5 or 6 separate groups or individuals in the alternative community saying things or creating division to get me away from Kim and the Trust. But she had information only she, I and Kim knew. Now it's out in the public. Chloe also sent me emails to people denigrating me before we split up, in which she described me as being with me as sleeping with the enemy. Really. Which, according to her, she did out of duty to teach me a better path. Don't all laugh at once. All sounds very much like a monarch agent to me. But for the public, time will tell on those issues. But if she keeps playing games and talking in wrong circles, I have much more to reveal about Chloe. You can trust me on that. But these issues to do with Soul Tribe Sanctuary were raised with Chloe long before she fled to Pastors New. It's very sad, but some have clearly lost their way in the last 6 months, either by design or unwitting. Either way, I will not be letting them drag our group, team, or me through the mud with lies and distortions. But more importantly than that is the issue of creating female covens with witchcraft that is allowing innocent people to become possessed, again, either by design or unwittingly, it matters not. That is the key issue here. Given the complaints received, perhaps STS, Soul Tribe Sanctuary, is fitting, as it has the same African acronym as Service to Self. Humanity is overrun with people who have attachments, and it may well describe the issue to do with people we call the synths. The jury is still out on that. But these people are not in control of themselves. This planet is like Storybrooke in the series Once Upon a Time, where magic doesn't exist in certain realms. And the only way to call in magic is from other realms and is usually administered by the Dark One. That, in and of itself, is the warning to humanity. You collect entities and magic, which, as the show always says, comes at a price. Whether that is lost loved ones, lost friends, lost families, or lost lives in some cases, it's a heavy burden to take on board for such little short-term gain. Humanity has done this for far too long now, repeating the same mistakes over and over. Short-term gain, long-term pain. What we are trying to do here now is short-term pain, very short-term pain, but long-term gain. We cannot repeat the repetitive loops and movie cycles doing the same thing. We have to think and act different this time, for the benefit of us all. Final piece this evening is the role of the Trust. The Trust is here and is also supported by the Council. We're not here to fix everything. Our role is to teach the truth to most people in higher positions on this planet, as they know so little of what most of our members in THI already know. Now that has been an increasing success, as evidenced by the various attacks on us recently, governments around the world gaining an increasing knowledge of what and how this world is really like, and also how it's been run. Many are now able to see a better path for them and their country and their peoples, and are moving forward at a steady pace towards real change. All despite the background of threats, intimidation, and their own self-doubts, which is why they couldn't see or sense what was really going on. The answer is they couldn't, because this system was extremely clever and brutally coordinated with massive layers of compartmentalization. Like I've said before, I've seen the structure in its entirety. It's staggering and resembles nothing like any researcher has ever compiled on the internet. But remember, they had 16,500 years to perfect that system. And because of the work of the relatively few, we have been able to almost dismantle it within a decade. I know some people think we're going slow, but if you really saw the whole system, you would be staggered at the pace we have gone. To get where we are today, remember, at this point in the game, we should have all been dead. All of this takedown, with the trust playing a key role, has all been done without violence. This is a key factor for us all and all future generations. Violence for too many throughout this universe has been the first and last solution, and many people and beings have lost their lives by following that directive. But it's been shown here and on other earths, it's not the only solution to fix things. There is a different and a better way, providing you think and act different. Is there evidence to support that? Yes. Why do you think abductions are no longer or rarely mentioned in the past 2 years? It's almost been forgotten. Less craft in the skies than previously, apart from a lot of fake ones. Because the other beings here are not only observing the peace treaty, but are enforcing it also. Many of them previously were under orders to manipulate, harvest, and in some cases destroy humanity, as humans were not in control of this planet due to the agreement signed 16,500 years ago, to hand over domain to others whose long-term goal was to destroy us and this planet once everything had been stripped. Many of you will have heard or read about the Tall Greys, who have members on the council. They were one of the biggest manipulators of humans in the Southwest and Central American regions in particular. Except now, they are helping to enforce the peace treaty. Are all their species nice? No. Are all of our species nice? Clearly not. But they will not be interfering in our lives like they have in the past, as the council will act on them for violating the peace treaty. Their main problem now, and ours, given they think they rule and have domain over humans, is the SS small p. An arrogant, psychopathic group who think because they traded with the devil, so to speak, and gained technology at our expense, they have the right to rule this planet by force and intimidation. Message for them goons: you won't. You've seen what we can do without tech. We have more tools in our armory. should you choose to continue to hamper progress. We will use them. And we will also have the backup support of the other beings, should it be required. Now, the role of the trust was also to stop the main source of energy harvesting done to us here via the monetary system, which, like the control system, was intricately created and ran by only one person. All the rest was compartmentalized the same way. Marduk, along with other prominent minions like the Rothschilds family — no family here has more Draco DNA than that family does — all the main players in the game, like the five factions, the fake Chinese elders, dragon groups, are all operated and manipulated by the Rothschilds. You see, they bet on every horse so they win. Or so they thought. But the problem is, high-level people are still playing their game for them. Please wake up. You are all being played. I mean, who fights to be called the head penis, for Christ's sake? Pindar, head penis of the dragon, or is it Drakon? Think about it. You're all being made to look like total fools. Is that really how you wish to be seen, Mr. Von Wright? If not, just quit it. That is why Putin dropped it, as he worked out it was all bullshittery. And he was also being played. The tests they are putting you through are all maze games, just like the parents play. Except there is no exit. And when you work that out, you will see what we've been telling you all along. Now, the contract on the trust ran out in 2012, and they just thought they would just roll it over and continue, but they were wrong. Many who worked within the system started finding out what the real plans were for all beings on this planet, and worked hard in the background to change that around, which eventually led to Kim becoming the sole trustee and removing all the previous clowns out and away from a new system that was introduced called the quantum system. In essence, this overrides the whole of the old monetary systems, be it Hercules, Prometheus, and the various Babylon systems, and also removed many of the backdoors into people's and governments' accounts, and provides full transparency into and within the banking system. Now, work is still ongoing with that, as we uncover many of the hidden layers, codes and blocks within the system. But once corrected, those avenues into the system can no longer be replicated or implemented. The firewalls see to that. Despite their varied and frequent attempts to access it, they all failed. The money aspect is secondary in many ways. The reason being, it is, in and of itself, a control system. Well, that's the way it has been used in the past. We have to stop individuals and groups hoarding it, like Mr. Bezos, Amazon, Microsoft, you name it. Cornering the market, no competition, destroying entrepreneurism, destroying creativity in real terms. Creativity adds to soul growth development. You're wondering why people suddenly got an interest in being artists or creating and growing plants. It's all about soul growth. But we have to change the mentality of having to hoard money and resources. Need, not greed. And that applies to each and every one of you. We all have a role to play in this. Over time, people will see the value of what has been done. We have provided a people's platform to perform upon. I hope we all use that opportunity to go forward in a better way. Now, I'm going to end this show with a song that should be important to us all. But as evidenced in this show, some choose to trample all over it. The lyric says it all. It's not what you believe. Those prayers will make you bleed. But whilst you're on your knees, how did you love? The one thing you leave behind is how did you love? For some people, how did they love? That is very badly. And much more shadow and inner work in service to others, not to the self, is required to correct that. This has been the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Bye for now.